Chapter 30, A New Master. Melissa was being escorted from her cell. Upon the guard unlocking it, she had lain down on the floor in submission, a routine she had followed several times during her stay at the police station. As was customary, the guard handcuffed her, then secured her legs with ankle chains. Struggling slightly, she managed to stand, after which the guard fastened a leash to her collar and led her through the jail's corridors. 2 days had passed since Marcus declared his intention to bid on her. The day before, Tarek and Amina had visited, informing her that the bank would not relinquish her from repossession. The bank had lost its patience with Arbeck after he had failed to pay the installment on time, and they had then found out that he had left the country. Tarek and Amina had been unaware of Marcus's plan to bid for Melissa, yet they seemed relieved when she told them about it. If Marcus won the bid, Melissa would avoid an uncertain destiny of being enslaved to a stranger for sexual exploitation and profit. It had been a chilling meeting for Melissa. Not only did it mean that Arbeck had not been able to bail her out of this, she was truly in the hands of the Grabesian slave system. And her only hope now was that Marcus's bid would go through. The best she could hope for at the moment was to be enslaved to Marcus. Marcus, a man her age, who had said that he had no intention of giving her her freedom back. If his bid on her was not successful, she would never see her friends again. Marcus had feelings for her, and she harbored some hope that she might be able to sway him to grant her her freedom. However, if a local from Grabesh acquired her, all hope would be lost, and her brief stint of slavery at the airport would become a lifelong sentence. After the meeting, Melissa was returned to her cell, where she agonized over her fate, feeling helpless. She kept reflecting on how she should have been free by now, yet here she was, still naked and collared since her arrival at the airport, alone in her cell, with her life hanging in the balance of decisions made by others. The guard then escorted Melissa to the judicial officer's office, where Marcus and a man in a suit awaited her. In the plain, unadorned office of the judicial officer, Melissa felt the handcuffs against her wrists and the weight of her collar, a constant reminder to her and anyone who saw it that she was not a free woman, that someone owned her. The guard's leash tugged gently as she was led to the judicial officer's desk. Her eyes met Marcus's, and the flood of emotions was overwhelming. There was a sinking feeling in her gut, a feeling that burned like acid that she was being led like this before him. She felt as if she was under a microscope, where her nakedness was magnified for Marcus to see. The clinking of the chains around her wrists and ankles felt like signals that transmitted her powerlessness for all to hear. Signals to remind everyone that she had no say in what was about to happen. She could feel Marcus's eyes on her, taking in every inch of her naked skin, and it was as if her skin was on fire, burned by each of his glances that she couldn't protect herself from with her hands cuffed on her back. She wished she could be invisible, that the ground would swallow her up, but her body was forced to move forward by the guard's leash, one demeaning step in her ankle chains at a time. Being brought in front of him, like purchased cattle, twisted her insides. The guard removed her handcuffs. The judicial officer looked at Melissa and instructed,
"Miss Mara, please climb onto the table and assume a position on all fours."
Melissa complied silently, the chains of her hobble and leash clinking as she maneuvered herself onto the table. The table felt hard against her skin, but she positioned herself as ordered, her knees and hands supporting her weight. Her heart was a tumultuous sea. She was feeling tentatively relieved that she was about to be released from the repossession nightmare, but worried what a future as a slave to Marcus would hold. Freedom, once lost, is not easily regained, she realized. As Melissa positioned herself on the table, she couldn't help but think about how her vagina was exposed from behind. She felt her skin prickle with awareness, knowing Marcus was behind her, and the sound of her own breathing was loud in her ears.
Move your air forward to clear your neck,
the officer added. With a resigned sigh, Melissa gathered her hair, letting it fall over her head to reveal the back of her neck. Her neck felt bare without the usual cover of her hair and only the steel of her current collar against her skin. Marcus stepped forward, holding a new collar in his hands. It was sleek, made of steel, like the one she currently wore, but with a different, perhaps more personal significance. He approached her cautiously, as if handling a fragile artifact. He put the new collar around her neck. She heard a metallic click as it locked on her. The state collar had been locked on her with a promise that would come off soon, but this one had come with no such promise. Marcus would keep her locked in it until he decided otherwise. The new collar was cool, unlike the other one she was already wearing. Now she bore two collars, one next to the other. The judicial officer then leaned in and unlocked the state collar. There was a moment where Melissa felt the weight lift from her, the metal parting from her skin, finally freeing her from the symbol of her initial enslavement. After 3 weeks, the sensation was surreal, like shedding an unwanted skin. And even though she was now wearing Marcus's collar, she sighed with relief. She had worn this collar for 3 weeks straight. She had wished for it to come off so often, and now she was finally free of it. She was not free, of course. She was now locked in Marcus's collar, but it was still a relief to know that she would not be auctioned off. She would not be owned by some stranger. She would not be made to work in some brothel. The man in the suit, previously silent, spoke with a tone of finality.
Mr. Wagner, congratulations on your acquisition. It has been a pleasure doing business with you.
Marcus responded with a nod, his voice carrying a hint of pride and excitement.
Thank you. I appreciate the smooth transaction. Melissa, stand up and come here,
Marcus said softly, his eyes reflecting a mix of affection and triumph. She did so, her movements cautious, feeling the new collar around her neck. Her ankle chain clinked as she walked over to him. She stood naked before him, the young man she had once dated and dumped. He owned her now. Her eyes met Marcus's, and in them she saw something she couldn't quite name. Perhaps it was affection, or at least the illusion of it. He opened his arms and she stepped into his embrace, with relief at not having been sold to some stranger. She hugged him back, the act more out of desperate gratitude for having been saved than genuine affection. After a moment, she pulled back slightly, her hand moving to touch the new collar. It was steel, like the one before, but somehow felt different, perhaps because it was Marcus's.
What does it say?
She asked, her voice a whisper, fearing the answer but needing to know.
Melissa Mora, property of Marcus Wagner,
he replied, looking into her eyes, searching for a sign of acceptance or at least resignation. She nodded quietly. The guard cuffed her hands behind her back again and removed her ankle cuffs. Slaves were handcuffed at the police station when they didn't need their hands, but she was no longer repossessed, so the other restraints were no longer necessary. The words on the collar began to sink in. She was now Marcus's property. Her life depended on his decisions, his whims. But at least, she thought, she was with someone she knew, someone who might still listen to her pleas for freedom. Together, they left the office, Marcus's hand gently guiding her by the elbow, a gesture that under different circumstances might have felt protective rather than possessive. They walked through the police station. Melissa's handcuffs were removed at reception. They left the police station together. For the first time in days, Melissa breathed fresh air again and felt the sun's rays on her skin. When she had entered the police station, she had done this to clear up a repossession request. She had thought she would be out within the hour. Instead, she had spent days in there, locked in a cell. Arbeck had promised to set her free, but in the end he hadn't. Now she belonged to Marcus. And while Marcus had never promised her freedom, she was sure that this would not last forever. He owned her outright. There was no loan she was collateral to anymore. All he had to do was unlock her collar and she would be free. It would be so easy for him. They walked home side by side, Marcus draping his arm around her shoulders as though she were his girlfriend. He was in high spirits, engaging her in cheerful conversation. But in her thoughts, Melissa wasn't really in the conversation. Would he free her from her collar? She wondered. He knows this is wrong, she convinced herself, clutching at the remnants of her optimism. He's been swept up in this fantasy of power. She remembered how he had looked at her in the police station, a mix of triumph and affection in his eyes. Could that affection be enough? Could it persuade him to free her? But then, doubts crept in. What if he would grow too comfortable with his control over her? She pondered, her fingers now nervously tracing around her new collar. The power dynamic had shifted so drastically between them. Would he ever willingly give up the power he held over her? She had seen how people here, even good ones like Tariq and Amina, accepted slavery as part of life. Could Marcus, who had tasted this authority, ever truly go back to how things were? Maybe he'll come to his senses, Melissa hoped. Marcus had grown up in the West, where freedom was considered a fundamental right. She recalled the Marcus she knew back home, believing he wasn't truly a slave owner at heart. His current actions seemed more like an indulgence of his sexual desires, a fleeting fantasy fueled by lust. He undoubtedly wanted sex with her, and she had made her peace with it. It was the price of him rescuing her from the repossession, so she was willing to endure this. Once his sexual frustration had been diffused, he would sober up. He would come to understand that he couldn't hold her as his prisoner indefinitely and would eventually grant her freedom.